This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Ahoy there, catch my painter.
Hooray.
Catch my painter.
Oh, caught it. Dropped it the first time, but got it the second time.
Got it the second
Same
time.
Same time. A little
throw
little
a loop around that.
Yes.
What's it called? A quoit? What's the thing called? The iron
a
thing
cleat.
On that? A cleat.
Cleat.
Thank you.
Throw a cleat.
The cleat.
Oh,
there.
I've got a
Tie
little
me
a,
li- off.
A little mustardy spray across my elegant white boating trousers.
Yes,
yes, where that's from some of the algae, I think, that was on your rope, on your painter.
That's it, a little bit of algae on there, just wiping the spume.
There,
from
oh,
my
the
eyes.
Spume. There it goes,
yes,
running off
go.
Down.
Oh, I can see you clearly now. Ahoy,
dripping in.
Ahoy.
There you are. Out into ahoy. The ether. Yeah, I can't really see you, of course, because I'm up in sunny Herefordshire and you're in Algiers. How,
Algiers, yes.
How goes it in Algiers?
Well, it's been an interesting week, actually. I mean, as I say, I've sort of, I've kind of thrown my lot in with this crazy bunch that we've got staying here. Basically, I've been in lockdown in the Holiday Inn. It was a little bit dry to start with, but I tell you, it's got a lot wetter now
that
the wood preserver guys are around. So basically, this guy, real bundle, he's a character, I tell you. He's called Keith Mount. Basically, he was on a conference with a whole bunch of them. I mean, it's a bit like, I mean, being a wood preserver in the 2020s is a bit like being in a rock band in the 1970s. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, these guys, they live high on the hog. You know, they travel all over the world.
Oh, I bet.
And you name it, they're rubbing it into wood. And they are sawing it off, I tell you.
Are they? They're really sawing it off. Oh, they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a mixed metaphor, isn't it, for a wood preserver? But what I mean is they're really coining it. Anyway, Keith, it turns out, had a couple of bottles of Cointreau stashed in his rum. And we set the world to rights. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, last night was amazing. Oh, the stories, I tell you.
Yes.
Absolutely mint.
You should write them down. Should write them
Do you
down.
Know what I said, what I said to them. Keith last night, you should write an autobiography. It should be called Getting Wood or something cheeky.
So, oh, that's good.
And,
yes.
And, you know, and it could be a sort of story, just any of these stories, really. I mean, Keith was one of the first people to get into beeswax in the 80s.
Yes.
You know, he actually, before he joined the guild, he was an apprentice. That's some really great stories. I mean, he turned up first day as an apprentice and he was shown, it was the 70s, and he was shown into a room with just a plank of pine on the workbench, and the guy said, "Go on, preserve that." Can you imagine?
What did it? What did Keith do?
Oh well, Keith being Keith, he sort of knocked up his own. He knocked up his own sort of little preservative. You know, a bit of toothpaste, bit of Dettol from the bathroom. Anyway, he made this little concoction, rubbed it on. I mean, basically, it was basically sink or swim in those days, you know.
Yeah, well, it would have been. Pop quiz. Yeah. How often has Keith Mount said to you in the last 3 weeks, well, it really does what it says on the tin, Craig?
17 times, yeah. I think he might even have a tattoo, just, you know, a tramp stamp with that written on it.
Where
just
it says,
in his lower back. Yeah, I
caught
a glimpse of something last night. I mean, just when he was getting up to fetch another bottle of Cointreau, nothing, you know, untoward.
Yes. Craig,
you know,
we've all
lost a fair bit of weight and the back of his trousers came open. Anyway, never mind. that's tricks at Dunnell.
Ah, back to solid ground. It's all been all ticks along very much as you might have expected. We're still getting quite nervous about the paucity of labour when it comes to the picking season, when the mange
two. You might have to do some work yourself, you mean?
Well, there's only so much manging I can do of the twos, you know. I mean, there's not, you know, we've got to get them packaged and we've got to get them out. It's a bit of a kick bollock scramble for the 5 weeks or so that we're enjoying peak mange two. But, you know, I'm confident.
So wait a minute. You run a mange two farm for 6 weeks of the year. It's kick bollock scramble. What happens the rest of the time?
Well, it's just bollock scramble then. There's work to be done all the way around the year. But, yes, when we come to picking season, it really is. It's every hand on deck. There we are. Yeah,
All
shoulders to the wheel.
Who's going to do the picking this year? I take it the Romanians are staying put.
Well, they're currently staying put. I don't know. I've been talking to the Ledbury Choral Society. They were just lamenting how little they've got to do. They were meant to be putting on a performance of Haydn's creation, Die Schöpfung, at some point in July. That's not happening. And they were just saying how sad it was. They don't seem to have that much to do. Also, there are quite a number of prisoners from HMP Lulworth which have been given an early reprieve, and I think a couple of them have expressed an interest. So I hope it looks like we're certainly getting some offers in.
Yes, it'll be quite an eye-catching sight, all those ruffians in the field.
Well, exactly.
Plus, of course, the prisoners from HMP Longworth. So what's on your cultural dial, Martin? What's happening?
Well, some interesting things. I've been making full use of our wonderful national collections that have thrown open their exhibits to an online audience. I've been prowling, if that's the word, around the British Museum. There's a wonderful britishmuseum.ac.org or something like that. That's where you go, I think. And you can log on there and you can wander around. I mean, as you know, they have, I should think, literally millions of exhibits there. If anything, slightly too many. What we want, and actually electronically, I think, and culturally, this is probably what we're going increasingly to need, is actually when you click on the British Museum website, you have a choice of curators, some of whom I guess you just go by maybe what they look like, and maybe some of them are people you actually know. And you click on, I don't know, you click on Bez from the Happy Mondays, maybe, and he says, yeah. All right, hey, welcome to the British Museum. I'm going to show you around some things that I like here. You're coming? And you go, yes, Bez. Click on it. And for the next 40 minutes, he goes, look at that. Mental, innit? That's mental. He's hopping around, dancing on one leg, then on the other, pulling things out, going, oh, hey, look at this. Hey, can Rodin or summit. Yeah,
yeah,
monster.
Let's have it.
Monster.
Rodin.
See, that's what I'd like. I'd like that.
We're going to look at some impressionist art. So come on,
hey,
let's have it.
Come on.
Chip on over to the Tate Modern. Let's get our eyeballs around some Boyce. Fucking having it. Boyce. Mad bastard. Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
I like that. You know, it would just make it a bit easier. Otherwise, it's just me just leafing through endless bits of cuneiform. Don't like that.
Yeah,
oh, talking of cuneiform, did you see that the customs officers had thought they'd brought in a massive haul and they'd busted a smuggling ring of people who were trading illicit ancient Mesopotamian antiquities. And they opened a couple of trunks full of amazing pottery and other little artifacts. They took them to the British Museum, in fact, to I don't think it was to Bez on this occasion. They took it to a very much a Mesopotamian and Sumerian specialist, a sort of ancient Babylonian specialist. And they took one look at it and they went, no, this is rubbish. It was all just nonsense. There's someone knocking these things out in Bahrain. The specialist, the professor said, I looked at it, he said, all this pretend cuneiform literally is gobbledygook. Most of it just looks like lots of Toblerones, he said, which I thought was a... So, I mean, they have smashed a smuggling ring. It's just, they're just smuggling nothing of any worth.
I mean, to go to the trouble of you go to the trouble of making fake artifacts and write and creating your own cuneiform writing?
Absolutely. And there was tiny, you know, some of these maybe sort of 3 inches tall, these little clay figurines, sort of amulets and things like that, that people were buying. Because, you know, you're the credulous buyer at the other end is going to be delighted. Absolutely delighted. Because it's coming out of old Mesopotamia, as far as he or she knows. And they'll display it. And until such time as the professor from the British Museum comes along and picks it up and laughs, they're going to think they've got something quite possibly for the rest of their lives that's going to give them untold happiness and cachet.
And it's sort of vaguely plausible, isn't it, because of the because of the war in Syria and everything else. And you know, I love the idea of quite heavy set men sat around going, Brian, are you following the situation in Iraq at the moment? Because it looks like Daesh are being pushed back because of some of the activities of the heritage sites.
Yeah, Palmyra, obviously. I need to say no more.
Yeah, I just wondered if you still had Sid's number, because I know Sid is a demon with the old cuneiform.
He's a demon with a chisel. I don't know about the cuneiform, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, but I wonder if he could get hold of Lammy, and Lammy could do a few of his little, fertility models, you know, make it look like. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but could make it look early Sumerian. I mean, middle Sumerian will do.
Okay,
But, you know, but then I think we could all get together and maybe there's a job, maybe stick it in a suitcase. We then go over, we set up an address, I don't know, Turkey, whatever, maybe Istanbul, maybe go for the coast. Make it more plausible, and then stick it in a suitcase, wham it over to some sherbet in East London. You know, he'll think it's a real thing, won't he? What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I think it's absolutely diamond, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Well, when does Knuckles get out? Because he could maybe write us a...
an ode. He's bloody good at his odes, isn't he?
An ode on what? They never used papyrus, did they, the Mesopotamians? What did they use?
No, Stone, mainly. Lovely.
And that can go on the top there in the suitcase. The first thing bloody you see marvellous. When you open it up, bosh. Well, shall I tell you what I've been watching?
Please do.
I found quite stimulating. Have you heard of a television series called Succession?
I have heard of Succession, yes. It's sort of loosely based on the Murdoch family, I think, isn't it? Is that right?
Is it loosely based on them? I think it's quite tightly based. Are you watching Succession? Have you watched Succession? Has become such a sort of it's not a badge of honour. It's not even doing it justice. It's something that people. It's like either you're in the club or you're not in the club.
Yes. As with every one of these clubs, I've always been considerably behind. Not even behind the curve. The curve's not even in sight. I'm only just coming through Breaking Bad. You know, that's how it is with me. No one's banging on about it.
That was the last show, wasn't it? You sort of had to have seen.
Yes.
And, I remember being in. I went to a friend's wedding, and I was in a pub. There's this Scottish guy, and there's this. I assume she was from London. Maybe she was from Surrey. I don't know.
But a Surrey.
And we were talking about what television shows do you like to watch, which has become a bit like what band did you like in the 90s? You know,
who, that's true.
What
that's
band
true.
Did you like? And the girl said, "Oh, I quite like Breaking Bad." And I said, "What's Breaking Bad?" And they went, pfft. And the guy. This is absolutely true. The guy said, "Do you think he'd be? Do you think he'd be capable of watching it?" She said, "I don't know."
What about you, Craig?
She's talking about me. He said, "I think he's got the nuts for that." Like, am I man enough to watch a TV show? Like, have I got sufficient gumption to sit on my bottom in front of a television? Yeah, that's what passes these days for courage. I mean, when we look forward in the future, people say to us, you know, what did you do during coronavirus? That's essentially what we're going to say, is it? Well, I sat on my bottom and I watched television.
But I'm troubled, though, by the sense that he was putting his own certification on that. The Scotsman, he was saying to you, or he's saying to the other person, of you, pointing at you, do you think he's talking about me?
Not only was he talking about me when I was sitting in front of him as if I wasn't there.
Right, he got the bravery.
Have I got what it takes to watch a TV show?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I can think of a number of TV shows you'd deserve a medal if you made it through to the end of them. But
it's probably one of the most irritating things that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
What was your response? Did you have a cool, calm response? Did you look at him levelly?
To be honest, I felt quite scared. I said, "Well, what's in it then? Oh. What's in it?" He said, "He's got cancer." I thought,
Oh, he's got your cancer.
He's got the cancer.
Yeah, do you wait till he's dying? He's got the cancer.
He's into drugs. He's got the cancer.
Oh, he's got your mate.
I thought, okay, right. Oh. Okay, well, I'll just white knuckle it then, see if I can get through the first few apps. Who knows?
Oh, there are a couple of hairy moments. Don't mistake.
Of course, yeah. No, there are. But I would say, I did watch Breaking Bad, and I'd say what it involved a lot of was sitting on my bottom watching television.
By the way, how's your work going? Are you
I'm on furlough. I leapt at that, I tell you, like the rest of the country. Basically,
furlough.
you can stay at home and still get paid and not catch the Oh, everyone's gone. Where have you gone, everybody? Where have you gone?
Hello?
The entire country is just a bit... Hello?
Is this on?
I
see. Oh, yes.
You just heard the beginning of it, and the entire country was like a wasteland. Everybody disappeared overnight. He got as far as fur. TVs went off. The National Grid...
The camera operator and the sound person just literally has dropped... All you heard was furlough clonk, clonk, as the microphone was hurled to the ground. All you could hear was their retreating footsteps on the parquet.
It was just like... Instant, absolutely instant. It made me very proud to be British, actually.
But when do you have an exit plan at all, Craig? Any chance of you returning from Algiers at some point, or are you?
Well, I think as soon as they stop setting fire to people in the streets who are from Europe, I think I will venture to the nearest airport. But the problem at the moment is there's a great suspicion of anyone from Europe, because they think we've all got coronavirus.
Oh, really?
So yeah, you have to be quite careful. You have to be a little bit careful.
Just appearing in
just appearing. Yeah, there's been attacks.
Do you think maybe if you went out strength in numbers, maybe Keith might go out with you?
I don't think anyone would dare tackle me if I was on Keith's team.
Team Mount.
Particularly, he's had a couple of Quantros, let me tell you. I'll tell you one more thing I did spot this week.
Go on, yes,
we should probably wrap this up at some point. What I did spot this week, I don't know if you saw this wonderful poem online. It's gone, unfortunate turn of phrase, viral. But yeah, I think 26 million people had seen it when I was...
Wow.
It's a poem. It's by a poet called... Tom Foolery, presumably not his real name.
It sounds wonderful, yes.
And it's called The Great Realization. I do recommend it. If you want a bit of cheering up,
Is it good? Is it genuinely good or is it terrible?
This is the thing. It's in that perfect sweet spot of being really, really good and absolutely terrible all at the same time. So it's a kind of fairy tale telling of the story of the coronavirus. So he's got a book about the coronavirus. It's a fairy story about the coronavirus. He's telling it to his son. Well, I presume it's his son. There's a young boy sitting there.
Hope
it's his son. And anyway, so he presumes it's not a sort of elaborate grooming procedure. He's actually, it's a bedtime story, effectively. And he's reading this story. It's all about the coronavirus. And there's a little boy saying, tell me the story again. Tell me the story of the coronavirus, Daddy. And he goes, okay. And he reads the story. It's done like a poem. Got a lovely accent, actually. Very, very well spoken.
Oh, I'm reading all about it. It seems extraordinary. Extraordinary. There's been feedback from Jennifer Aniston and
They bought Drew the movie Barrymore. Rights. Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal's going to make it into a,
Is he? Oh, Lord.
I don't know, make it into a movie, probably.
Yeah, probably. And then they'll all forget about it. As soon as the lockdown's over, they'll all think, actually, do you know what?
So basically, we said we would, but actually
we were a bit drunk. We're just drunk.
Yes, we've just all been on our own for weeks and weeks and weeks on end.
We literally drank four bottles of Cabernet Sauvignon. We just watched it and thought it was great.
I wept buckets at your poem, Thomas. I think that's his name. But now I can go out and buy a packet of fags whenever I want to. It's not quite the same.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's a bit
It's just, you know.
So it's what did you do during coronavirus? It tells the story of how everybody, there was this, you know, this virus, this pandemic, and everybody went home. And before the virus, everybody was traveling everywhere and ruining the planet and never had any time for one another, all on their phones. Yeah. And then as soon as the virus came, they all stayed at home and they discovered, you know, poem is called The Great Realization. They realized, you know, that they'd lost human contact with them, and they realized what they'd lost. And when they came out of isolation, the world was never the same. It was just a lovely place.
It's lovely. Everyone's kind of written that as the outcome. Do you genuinely think that's going to be the outcome, or do you think we'll just pretty much go back to exactly what we were doing before?
I think it's going to be exactly the same. I think as soon as we can, you know, probably a bit like, for a few weeks, we'll probably console ourselves by saying, do you know what? It was actually a lot of good came out of that. You know, I reconnected with my family and spent more time with my kids. And hang on, what? Where? On Monday? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm on my way. Book me my ticket now.
Yeah, no, it'll be like that.
Yeah, book me the first flight. I'll be there. The biggest guzzling jet there is.
Because we're human, aren't we? I think there's a kind of memory to culture. It's a bit like we're a bit like memory foam, and I think we've been squashed a bit.
Yeah,
you know, we've been packed.
We'll all look back, I think, with a bit of nostalgia, and probably some of us, I hope, most of us might have fond memories of lockdown. Actually, I hope it's.
I'm just going to take a wild stab and say that. So sweet as the poem is. And much as I hope I'm wrong, and the future belongs to, you know, lovely looking English boys with posh accents. I think possibly things will be exactly the same.
I haven't asked you how is your cat?
Oh, catatonic. Yes. Well, I'm very lucky. My next door neighbour. In Chingford, Mrs. Mills has taken her in. And did I tell you I'd actually bought a hairless cat? Well, it didn't start out as a hairless cat. It was just a normal cat. And then, unfortunately, Catatonic gave him some sort of strange follicle. We're not sure what it is. We think it's some sort of bacterial, some horrendous kind of follicular disease. It was like a wasting disease. All his hair fell out. I mean, he was supposed to give Catatonic a lease of life, you know, a boost. But instead he rapidly became a hairless cat.
What's the new hairless cat called?
Catamaran.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, Martin, just uncoil my painter there from the cleat, would you?
Let me do it. There we are. Oh,
there we go.
Oh, I did that rather tighter than I imagined it would be.
Give me a little push with your boating shoe off. There you go.
Off you go. Oh, it's safe travels.
It's surprising how light a touch you need, isn't it? Just to change the direction of this whole ship. Yes. Dahoy!
Dahoy!
Dahoy! Dahoy, listeners.
Go travel well, or whatever it is.
Podcasters and podcast dresses.
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. It was produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard. This was a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by iQBAR. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.